everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragomeni. I'm going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. Fun week coming up this week. Ben Bailey. You guys know him as the Cash Cab Guy. He is coming in this weekend for five big shows. I talked to Ben, and we'll play that here for you shortly. But let's run down what we got. We only got one other show aside from Ben Bailey, and that is the 101 Comedy Class Showcase, and that is Wednesday night, November 20th at 7:30 p.m. It's the students of the 101 Comedy Class, and usually a couple of guests thrown in there for you as well. They always do a nice job. Just doing the beginner class. You know, friends and family come out. They watch their friend or family member that they said, you are not funny and you will never be good at comedy, go up and most of the time be good at comedy. So that's a fun thing. 7:30 p.m. tickets, of course, on comedycastle.com. And then Ben Bailey comes in for us on Thursday, November 21st for the 7:30 p.m. show. Also shows for you Friday, November 22nd, 7:15 and 9:45, and then Saturday night at 7 p.m. and 9:30. All right, so five chances to catch Ben Bailey. Tim Rayburn will be your host, John Bush, featuring on those shows. And Ben is Ben's really funny. I mean, he's been there many times. Always have a nice crowd. I would recommend getting your tickets earlier than later. Like if you're listening to this, maybe get some tickets. I'm going through the map now. There's tickets available, but not at every table. And so depending upon when you want to go or when you can go, probably best seats Thursday, maybe the late show Friday. But, you know, hey, you come when you can. That's why we do five shows. Ben's always, he's a riot, you know, super funny dude. Storyteller, mostly some observational stuff in there. You'll hear in our interview some of the highlights that I can recall from Ben's shows in the past, and his new comedy special, which you'll hear us talk about as well. Please Tell Me What I Said is the name of that one, and we'll talk about that throughout the interview as well. Fun interview with Ben. I really enjoyed it. Great job, and I think you guys are going to like this interview. But let's get into a couple other things here. We just had a great weekend with John Heffron, and you guys know, if you've come out to any of those shows, always a busy time at the Comedy Castle with John Heffron. But, I mean, after all these years, 35 years, we talked to him last week. I mean, what an amazing weekend of shows. He really put on a clinic. He was great. Terrific all week. Tom McCarthy, of course, the former host of this show, did a great job in the middle, and Sheila Lovely opened it real strong. Sheila's hilarious. And we just had a great weekend. Great weekend. It was the busiest week, probably our busiest week of the year this past year. Trying to think of the other shows that we had in there. We had a Detroit to L.A. Semifinal on Tuesday night last week, which was really great. And I think almost 300 people at that thing, which was amazing. Six of them going forward. We got the next semifinal for you next week. God, what else do we have? We had that, and then we had a, what was the Wednesday show? I can't even recall all these shows. Last night, Stone Cold and the Jackal. Steve Burton and Bradley. What's Bradley's last name? They're from General Hospital. They put on a heck of a show, I got to say. You know, they've been coming for years, and that show has just gotten funnier, tighter, better live performers, and actually fun guys. I like, you know, Steve Burton and I used to go back and forth. He's a big fitness guy, a big musclehead dude, all handsome. And he'd always kind of make fun of my physique or something about me. But I think there's a lot of respect there. I was their tech guy. Had to make that thing sound good, play their music cues. But fun show. Sold out, man. That I'll tell you, if you know someone that loves General Hospital or soap operas, those guys come around at least once a year, and it's always a good time. So a lot of fun shows at the Comedy Castle. It's been a good time. And we're looking forward to Ben this week. Couple other notes on this interview. You're going to hear us talk about the man who put Ben on stage for the first time. I was unaware of Ben's sort of origin story as a comedian, but you'll hear that on the show. And the guy, the MC that put him on stage, I'm not even going to say the guy's name, But we'll talk about it a little bit after the interview, because I just went down a rabbit hole of this guy's life. That was something else. And then, of course, just it never ceases to be funny. The Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. You'll hear me talk about that with him and the Fifth Third Bank. But I think that's enough. I think that's enough of me and my nonsense. Again, afterwards, stick around and we'll talk about this first guy that put Ben Bailey on stage. I think you'll dig that talk, my deep dive. And you may want to deep dive too on this, because it's something else, man. All right, but here's Ben Bailey for you. Listen to this. We'll be back after. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, what a pleasure it is to speak to this weekend's headliner. You guys know him, you love him, it's Ben Bailey, everybody. Ben Bailey, what's up?
Hey, what's happening, man? How you doing, Joel?
I'm doing great. It's going to be an exciting weekend at the Comedy Castle with you.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, I can't wait to come back.
It always is. I don't know how many years it's been, not that many, but you always have nice crowds. They're excited to see you. You're a celebrity to the people, and that's nice as a comic when you have that. It's that
extra level of,
because people are skeptical, right? When they go to see someone they don't know, they've never seen on television or anything.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've never really seen it from that angle.
As someone who's been that anonymous comedian to hit the stage, I will tell you it is. That's coming from me. I don't know. You know, maybe it's the same thing and I just don't realize, but
I think that people, it could work the other way too. People who see that you're on TV and be like, oh, well, but is he just one of those guys cashing in on his TV show, or is he actually comedian, you know?
Yeah.
Hopefully people know by now that it's the latter.
Well, our audiences know. They showed up for you last time in big.
Yeah, they sure did. Yeah, the last several. It's been great.
Yeah, it's been
fantastic.
It's a
great room. I love the two drink maximum thing. Like, that's fantastic.
I don't know that it's a two drink maximum thing.
Oh, no?
No, I think it is a two item minimum.
A two item minimum. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which is not as bad as some places, meaning you can order a basket of popcorn and a bottle of water, and you're covered.
Oh, well, I was misinformed about that.
So you think that we are like the sober comedy club at the Comedy Castle?
Yeah, that's how it was put to me. It was not the sober comedy club, but that like the show, the good show is what's important. And if people get too drunk, then it's not.
Yeah.
Conducive. So
we have nice audiences, and if somebody does look like they've been overserved, or you know they've been partying too much before they got there, we will cut them off.
Overserved, that's a great little thing.
Overserved, but you know not people come in, especially in Michigan, when you have recreational marijuana. You don't know what people have been doing before the show.
Yeah,
happens.
They were doing that before the shows anyway.
Well, because you know that edible that they did in the car before they walked in, that hits right as the headliner's hitting the stage. It times out perfectly every time.
So they're confused and they don't know what's going on.
you see some old ladies who just, you know, it's their first time on an edible. They're not doing well.
They're wondering where they are. Try to remember their name and where they live.
Well, yeah. And with you, you know, they might think they're on the cash cab or something.
I hope not. There'll be no trivia. There'll be no trivia questions.
Trivia. Well, the cash cab thing, you seem to, you own that thing, I feel like, right? That's your not, there's no shame or I'm the guy for that you saw for other years. You know, I'm a real comedian. I'm not the cash cab guy. You play it up.
I'll include a little bit, some cash cab stuff. Mm-hmm. I know that's what they're going to want to hear to some degree. But mostly it'll be brandy new stuff since I was there last time.
Nice. Yeah, really good.
Oh,
I was watching the new special before you called, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I threw you a like on that one, man. That's good stuff.
You threw me a like?
Threw you a like. You know, you got to do the YouTube thing where you like it. Helps you out.
Like and share. Like and share.
Well, we're sharing it now. You got a new special, but we want people to come out this weekend and see you. You know, one of the things when you do talk about cash cab is that recognition that you have just walking down the street or wherever you happen to be. And I feel like that sort of star that you became on television is kind of going away, the basic cable star. You know?
You think so?
Well, I mean, people don't, you know, either people don't have cable or, you know, with streaming, you actually have to, like, click the thing to watch it. And you might run into Cash Cab just flipping through the channels like we used to do, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, you and I know you talk about Mike Rowe and those kind of guys, you know, the Impractical Jokers, they have that thing where it's like, well, they just, you see it whether you watched it or not. You know what I mean?
Maybe that's going away. Yep. But that's funny. You classify me with those guys.
Yeah.
In that same group. Good company, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, my fiance, when we met, she said, I'm the biggest fan of Impractical Jokers. And I said, I don't even know what that is. It's probably not funny. And now I've seen every episode probably twice, and I've seen the live show about 5 times, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, they seem like good guys. I know the one guy, Sal, I know, but I think he's the only one I really know. Mm-hmm. But I think I met the other guys. Right. They were all at a bar at one of the clubs in New York one night.
Yeah, nice. Because you are a thing, man. That's the thing about, okay, you're the guy from TV, but you're a real comic. I look at your Instagram. You're at the Comedy and Magic Club, Hermosa Beach. Very prestigious club. I've heard great things about that place.
Oh, that's a great place, man.
Yeah. Mark Ridley, I think, is tight with the owner over there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think he goes and golfs with him.
Yeah. I think that's the case.
They might be doing it right around the right time of year for that to be happening.
Yeah, Mark, I believe, is out in California right now. But, but you know, it's one of those places where, you know, you don't play that place. Comedy Castle is kind of the same thing. If you don't have the goods, you're not in that place.
Yeah. That's a great club. I got a 5-minute spot there like years ago. Mm-hmm. And had like just such a great time and had a great set, and they've been good to me ever since.
Yeah.
And they have good food too.
That'll be on my list next time I go out to LA. That's on my list.
It's worth checking out. And Hermosa Beach is a really cool little town too.
Yeah, nice. Let's talk about.
Looking forward to coming back to Royal Oak.
Yeah, Royal Oak's nice. It's not quite. You're a northerner, right? By descent, anyway, right? It's not winter yet. So you can walk around.
Doesn't feel like it. Yeah, no. It doesn't feel like it's going to be winter at all. But yeah, I'm a northerner. I grew up in Rochester. I lived in Rochester, Michigan.
Oh, did you really? Okay, I did not know.
Yeah, until I was 7.
Okay.
So not really grew up. I mean, I wasn't fully grown up at 7.
That's a beautiful place to visit around the holidays, Rochester, Michigan.
It is. They have they didn't have that back when I was a kid. Yeah. But they're known for their Christmas light display, which is like phenomenal.
It is. And you know, Rochester, they're like, "Hey, the earth's warming up, but we don't care. Here's your lights, people. Then go ahead and get them. Come on now."
As long as they're LEDs, I mean.
I would imagine there's something like that. They're very, they're spectacular. I enjoyed looking at them.
LEDs definitely, because, you know, they're so much cheaper that, like, everybody does it.
Yeah.
Whether they care about the environment or not. But, yeah, I'm a real kind of Michigan dude. I was the DTE energy guy for a while.
Uh-huh.
I lived in Michigan when I was a kid, and my family still has a house up on Lake Huron.
Nice.
That my great-grandfather built 100 years ago.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. We call it the cottage.
Yeah, that's what we call it.
Yep.
That's what we call it. And the cottage can vary. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been to cottages. You want to go to the cottage, and I'll go to the cottage, and it's a trailer, you know?
Yeah, or it's a 12-room mansion.
Yeah, exactly. It could absolutely be. It could be a log cabin. The cottage has many, could fit many buildings, would fit that description in Michigan. Let's talk about your origin story in comedy. I was reading this on Wikipedia. You're a bouncer at the Comedy Store.
I was, among other things. A bouncer, bartender.
Nice.
You know, door guy.
Yeah.
Bartender. And I answered the phones. That's how I got into stand-up comedy, answering the phones at the store. I had worked in a really nice hotel here in New Jersey. And when I moved out to L.A. to get into showbiz, I figured I'd get a job in a hotel while I'm out there. And I couldn't get one. Like, they didn't care that I had this great experience back here at all. And then, so I came out of a Hyatt. I didn't get a job at a Hyatt. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm screwed. I thought I was going to get a job at the nicest place in town.
Right. Yeah. Beverly Hills or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Then I come out of the Hyatt and there's some guys standing around next to this weird looking black building with a bunch of names painted on it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what is that place? Of course, it was the Comedy Store. And these guys offered me a job answering the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I was telling this story about it in the green room one day, and some guy thought I was a comedian. He said, how long have you been doing comedy? And I said, oh, I just started. And so he put me on. He offered me a show. That guy's name was Skip E. Lowe. Do they have that right on Wikipedia?
I believe so. Yeah, I think so.
He's an interesting character because he hosted a cable access talk show. We're going to talk about a cable star. This guy, a chat show from a bus bench, which had an advertisement for the show on the bench. So he's sitting on a bench with a picture of him on the bench.
Yes. I'm actually
clicked. And you sit with him and he interviews you. And I found out later that he was the inspiration for Jiminy Glick.
Nice. Okay.
Martin Short character, which in my opinion is some of the funniest stuff ever.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Martin Short does that. Yeah, I'm looking up Skippy Lowe now. Yeah, he actually he died about 10 years ago. He was 85 years old, but he has a film credit from 1943 on his Wikipedia.
Really?
He does. Yeah, he was born in 29, according to this.
What's the film called?
It's called Best Foot Forward, where he played a cadet. It was uncredited. Now, is Best Foot Forward is Lucille Ball's from one of her movies.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. And I
then
didn't know that.
Song of the Open Road with Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy and W.C. Fields. He did that movie.
Oh, my God.
I mean, listen, you really found, you hitched yourself to a star that night, Mr. Bailey. He did. Well,
he
look.
Did. He was more interested in getting me to come over and watch football and stuff at his house, I think, is what he really was interested in.
Yeah, they do have that on his Wikipedia that he was a gay man, but okay, fair enough.
He would call me and say, come on over, we're all watching the football. I'm like, who's we all have Marlon Brando's kid over there. This is how Hollywood is, man. It's weird. Like, I went and got my first headshots taken by some woman. Turned out to be Errol Flynn's daughter.
Okay. All right.
Okay. You know, like, oh, my friend knows a photographer. It turns out it's a woman named Rory Flynn, daughter of Errol Flynn.
That's cool.
Like, she's just some photographer woman to you?
Yeah. I've never heard of her, but okay. I mean, Errol, that's something. That'll get people, if you did say that, you'd probably go, okay, I'd let her take my pictures.
Well, it's just that's how it is in L.A. It's like everybody's part of it, you know, on some level. Most of the people that live there. Yeah.
But then were people skeptical that the doorman's on stage? Did you get any pushback?
No, there's really none of that because everybody that works there is a comedian.
That is true, yeah. And what year does this happen?
That was 1993. I've 30, going on 31 years in this
terrific.
Ridiculous game.
Yeah.
Gotta laugh with the first thing I said, by the way. I told Skippy Lowe I wasn't interested, and then he gave me his card, and I changed my mind and called him. And he put me on his show that Saturday night, and I got a laugh with the first thing I said, and I knew right away
that was it.
This is what I'm going to do with my life.
Yeah.
Well, right in that moment.
You did well. You've done well for yourself in that 31 years, sir.
Oh, well, thanks, man.
All right. So when does the cash cab thing happen? How do you get that gig?
I just auditioned for it years later, 12 years later.
And did you, being an East Coaster, did that help you think?
How do you mean?
Well, you know, they want a New York cabbie. People in their mind have a New York cabbie in mind. And even though I think that's changed over the years, I think you fit the mold to some degree, right?
Sure.
Tough,
definitely.
East Coast guy. You know, somebody cuts you off. You know, you swear at him, give him the finger. I could see you doing that.
Yeah, there was plenty of that.
Yeah, that's another question I had is like, just because one of the things about that gig is that you're actually driving the car in Manhattan. That's
yeah.
That's I've done that. That's a very difficult thing to do.
It is. You get used to it, though.
Yeah.
I did it for years. You get used to it. I had already been driving a lot.
Oh, had you? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's a cool thing. And I remember you saying, I don't know if it was on stage or off stage we were talking, that you have the cab. Is that still true?
Yes, I do. Yeah, it's still in my garage. It's full of stuff that I don't know what to do with.
Well, I mean, look, to somebody, that's worth some money. So I don't know. When we see it for sale somewhere, we know you're not doing so hot.
Or I just want to have some more space in my garage.
That too. That works too. That's absolutely. And you did the DTE to ads here. I remember, I think maybe the last time you were here, you had some DTE big shots at the show. I remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess I did. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. Going back a while, a few times ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Was it? Okay. Yeah, yeah. I've been there a long time.
Yeah, I like that. I like that company, DTE. I hope they're doing good things for people still.
Well,
they were back then. They kept the lights on in the city when the city was bankrupt.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, well, that's a good idea for you, too.
Well, this is maybe if you go on stage and you ask people what they think of DTE at the Comedy Castle this weekend, you're going to get some different opinions, I would say.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm not sure they're quite as altruistic as they might have made them.
Hey, he was always nice to me, that guy. I don't know what he did, but he was, you know, it's one of those.
That was really fun doing those ads. Yeah. Man, I got to travel all over the state.
Yeah, those are cool ads. I really liked that. They were informing you about how the grid works and all that stuff, and you're walking through fields and power lines. It was neat.
Yeah, and you could access and control things with an app, which was pretty new then, and yeah, it was fun.
It was neat.
But those shoots were hairy sometimes. It was freezing out there. Oh. And they're like, it's supposed to be summer in this spot. I'm like, well, let's rewrite it, man, so I can put a jacket on. This is crazy out here.
Wow. Oh, wow.
It's funny. One year, I wanted to go see Black Sabbath when they were doing their final tour there after the album 13 came out. And I was going to be on the road doing commercials for DTE at the time. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, let me see if they're playing anywhere in Michigan. Mm-hmm. And I looked it up and they were like, yeah, they're playing at DTE Energy Amphitheater.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm like, I think I might have an in to get some tickets for that show.
Yeah.
But it's funny. I went, and when I got there, it looked really familiar, and I realized that it used to be called Pine Knob.
Yeah, it's Pine Knob again. Yeah.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, I think DT's however long they paid to name it.
It's Pine Knob. That's great news.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's kind of we all grew up going to Pine Knob.
Yes, I did too. That was where I was headed. I went to my very first concert at Pine Knob when I was like 5.
Yeah.
It was Mac Davis.
There you go. All right. I remember Mac Davis.
And when I was there for the Sabbath show, there was a security guy there who was also there for the Mac Davis show when I was 5.
I saw Rick Springfield there in the 80s.
Nice.
Yeah. Right at Jesse's Girl. That tour, I was at that. It was probably in the 5th grade or something when that happened. But
that song's kind of creepy. Think about it.
A little bit now. Yeah, you could say.
His friend Jesse is like, dude, back off. Hey, I hope you don't mind, but I wrote a song about how I want your girlfriend. Rick Springfield's friend Jesse hates his guts.
We needed to hear a Jesse song. You know, Rick's a dick or something. That could have been the follow-up. It a rap beef, but not rap. I don't know. Speaking of funny name, like DTE is kind of an awkward name. I can't drive by the Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in my town without thinking about your. I hear it in my head when I think of the name. It's your voice.
I wonder if they're going to send me a gift pack like Fifth Third Bank did.
I saw that on your Instagram. All right, explain that one. You said there's a history that they told you somehow of the name Fifth Third Bank.
Yeah, they told me. I think they told me the real way they came up with the name, but I like my story better. I saw Fifth Third Bank on a billboard or something in Cleveland years before, and then a friend invited me to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. And I just couldn't believe the name of that one. And then like maybe 8 years after that bit kind of fell out of nowhere. I was like, talking about the name of the place and the two fell in together. And yeah.
Yeah. Because we have that, and that's going to kill here. Cause I mean, you've done it here, but we have both of those businesses.
You guys have both. Yeah. Cause I think Fifth Third Bank is a Midwestern of Midwestern origin. I think Cleveland might have been the first. Or no, Cincy. Right. It's in Cincy, because that's the story. I get to my green room at my last show in Cincinnati, and there's a whole gift bag and a whole bunch of stuff from Fifth Third Bank, because they love the bit.
Yeah. But, you know.
They combined two banks, I think, is the story.
Okay, yeah.
Kind of makes sense,
but it's also a regional bank. And had it been America's Bank, maybe it's coast to coast at this point. But they're Fifth Third. What am I? Who am I to say? Who am I to tell them to improve their name? But
it's a great name.
It's memorable, right?
Say it all day.
Yeah, it's in your head. It's being talked about on the comedy stage, coast to coast, by Ben Bailey. Come on, that's a big thing right there.
Charging them ad money.
Yeah, absolutely. Free advertising. Went to the Fifth Third Bank. Got the loan.
Energy on this call.
Yeah.
Know your own power.
Know your own power. Okay, yeah, that was the slogan. I'm laughing because next to me at my desk is a bill from DTE. I just noticed that. Like literally next to my computer. It's DTE. When is this from? It was summer. It was high. Air conditioning. All right, let's get you out of here on this. We want people to come this weekend. Like brand new special is up on YouTube. I was watching it before the show. Very funny stuff.
Thanks, man.
Where'd you tape that thing at?
Taped it in New Hampshire, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, at this little club. Basically, I was supposed to tape in 2020, and, you know, everything went to shite. Mm-hmm. And then I just, one day I was like, I got to tape this thing.
Yeah.
Where do I next have two shows in one night? And it turned out to be this little theater venue in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, which is a pretty awesome little town.
Okay.
And despite some pretty major errors in the filming of it, I was able to squeeze a decent special out of it.
Well, it's funny you do the two shows, which is sort of the industry standard is two shows. But I've talked to comedians, you know, in doing this show, and they say, look, you know, something happened on the we had to go with one show. And I go, oh, my God, I can't imagine the pressure of knowing you only had one shot at the thing.
Yeah. My earlier special of Road Rage and Accidental Ornithology, they did that to me, the production company. At the last minute, the deal was for two, and they were like, no, we're going to, you have to get it in one, like 2 days before, because they were like, we're going to shoot something else in that other slot, and that'll make us more money. Like, they, you know, they put together another deal for squeezing it in on the same shoot day. But that one came out pretty good.
Yeah, well, that's good. But yeah, just that pressure would be, as a comic, I would say, oh, no. I don't know, you know, like just it's bad enough you're trying to get this thing and, you know, then you're like, well, you got to get it in one. And not that it's not stuff you haven't done before, but still.
Yeah.
Nerve wracking.
Honestly, I was more pissed that they were reneging on the deal at the last minute.
Well, that too.
I was pretty sure I could do it. I mean, at that point, you've run your set so many times if you're doing things right.
Right.
That, you know, muscle memory, even when you're not totally 100% focus, you're still doing it almost exactly how you would, you know?
Yeah.
How they train the kids with sports these days. Uh-huh. That's why they're so good. They keep getting better and better and better. It's amazing.
Please Tell Me What I Said is the name of that one. You can catch that on YouTube. But catch Ben this weekend. It's going to be a good time. Do you have any, so do you have family coming out for you this weekend? What's, any special plans for Royal
Oak? There might be some friends. I'm not sure, but, there might be some DTE executives.
Okay, there you go.
Maybe some people from Fifth Third Bank.
Fifth Third Bank. But Ruth's Chris, are they showing? Is it Ruth or Chris showing up? Or?
And Home Depot. I got a Home Depot bid.
Oh, dude. Okay, we got those too.
Yeah.
But we got five big shows with Ben this week, and you guys got to come out, all right? If you're listening to this, please come
on out, folks. Come out for a good laugh.
Come on.
And a good time.
And it's not, I think you swear a little bit, but it's not a dirty comedy show. You can take
it's not dirty. I like to be able to swear, but it's not filthy at all. It's silly. You know, nothing political. No, here's what you should think. Just like here's some funny stuff that I'll say funny words and you laugh at them.
Exactly. Well, I will endorse the funniness of your show, seeing it several times, and I'll be there this weekend at the Comedy Castle. Get your tickets, comedycastle.com. Ben, thanks for talking to me today. It was a treat, man.
Hey, you bet, Joel. Looking forward to seeing all you guys.
See you this weekend. All right, Ben. Take care, buddy.
See you, man.
All right, bye-bye. All right. Thanks, Ben. That was fun. Skip Elo. Yeah. Skip Elo. Look, I went down this deep dive of Skip Elo, and you can find a YouTube playlist of his best interviews, Skip Elo. And it's all a lot of old Hollywood people who, like, you don't really know who they are, or they didn't, like, I'm sure they've been in stuff, but it was a million years ago. And there's this, I'm trying to see how many videos this guy has on here. It's called The Best of Skip Elo. And there are these videos that, I think he's talking to Mamie Van Doren here. That a real thing? Let me see if I can. Oh, maybe you guys can.
I've been out with a lot of men.
Yeah,
I haven't gone
here
to
he
bed
is.
With a lot
That's
of
what I mean.
Men.
That's what
I've
mean.
Turned them down. Mm-hmm. Some very well-known, like Warren Beatty, I've turned down many times. Warren and I had a relationship for 10 years over the period when, from 1961 to like 71.
So, he has all of these like old Hollywood interviews. And they have like very few views. I mean, I'm looking at 89. It's been up for 4 years. It's got 89 views. And Skippy Lowe, here he is with Tony Curtis. So, but again, I think we kind of nailed on why maybe a young Ben Bailey was invited to the stage by Skippy Lowe. And hey, look, if that's a guy making a pass at you, hey, I mean, what a better place than the Comedy Store to have that opportunity. And from Ben's perspective, hey, he owes a lot to the Skippy Lowe fella, you know? We can't just put this guy down. He actually, was it in his intention to give this man a career and make him internationally famous from Cash Cab? No, he wanted to sleep with him, but here we go. Here we go, but thank you, Skippy Lowe. Thank you, Skippy Lowe. Is he still around? Now, he passed away a few years ago. Yeah, I did say that on the show. He passed away a few years ago. Anyway, that's going to do it for the show. I think it's enough nonsense. I think that's enough to get you in the mood to come see Ben Bailey this weekend, wasn't it? I think so. Hey, thanks for everybody listening to the show. Catch us on social media over on Instagram and on Facebook as well. You can add us. I update you on when the show comes out on that. So please check us out there. Like those pages, whatever. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts. And thanks for listening. We'll catch you out at the Comedy Castle. Come out this weekend. We want to see you. All right? You come out, you say hi to me at the door. Maybe the other guys, too. I don't know. Whatever. It's almost Thanksgiving. Let's celebrate. Ben Bailey, do it. Later, guys. Bye-bye.